This is WMRW LP 94.5 Warren, Vermont, streaming live at WMRW.org. We are an all-volunteer, non-commercial, independent community radio station located right here in the Mad River Valley.
The following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, Rootswork.
Good afternoon, Mad River Valley. This is Jerry with the 5-8 Show. I know I'm usually on Fridays and Amy's usually on Sundays, but we sort of swapped this week because I have a very special guest and she was able to come in this afternoon. And I just want to say you are listening to the 5-H Show. The 5-H's are health, harmony, happiness, humor, and humanity. And I kind of think photography fits into all of that. And my guest is Barry Fisher. She's a local photographer that I'm sure a lot of you know. And she has a studio in Waitsfield. And I want to welcome you to the radio station, Barry. And thanks for coming in.
Hi, Jerry. It's great to see you. And thank you so much for asking me. Yeah. And yeah. I love the name of your HHHHH. Those are wonderful words.
Yeah. Well, it's funny when we,
et cetera.
When I first started the show, it was the 4-H. And then I thought, you know, I hope, you know, we have such a broad audience, we might get sued by the 4-H people.
Oh, my.
So I could make it 5-H, and the fifth H was humanity.
Perfect.
And it is perfect. Yeah. It fit right in.
It fits you, too.
Thank you. So I guess I want to start with your background a little bit, where you grew up.
Sure. Yeah. I grew up in the Berkshires, which is in Massachusetts, which was South Egremont, Mass., and also right on the border with South Egremont and Hillsdale, New York. And my father built ski areas, and my mother.
He built ski areas?
Yeah.
Wow.
My mom ran the ski shop.
How did he get into that?
Let's see. Well, he was an outdoorsman, a Renaissance man, and he started building ski areas in 1939. Mm-hmm. It was really in the early years. Yeah, really early. And was friends with, you know, Galen and everybody here. Roland, excuse me. Roland Palmedo and the Gads and everybody. So they were all in the industry. It was a small industry back then.
I guess there was no ski resorts out west, was there?
No, not really. Yeah. No, I think Sun Valley was maybe 37. But Dad was a pilot and he would fly. And he would fly over all these mountains out west. And he actually has a photo of Sun Valley where I have it in my files, and you can see his drawings on the photo that he took of the mountain.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty neat. And where he could put lifts and how the fall line was, because he was an architect of the land, really.
And is that how he first got interested in thinking that he might want to build a ski resort?
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted a golf course, but that didn't work out. And so he found a farm in the Berkshires and he just got all his buddies at 24 years old and they lived at the base of the mountain and they had old power wagons and saws, chainsaws, and they'd go up and spend all summer, you know, down at the base, I think.
Wow.
And then they would go up and, you know, cut trails and look at the right fall line. It was pretty neat. And so that's kind of the love story that started with skiing and how much I live in ski towns because of that.
That's so cool. You were just telling me about your dad being the Marlboro man.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
He was really a pilot, and he built ski areas. That was his thing. He was walking down the street in New York, and somebody saw him because he happened to be very handsome. And somebody saw him, and he was living in New York with my mom at that point. And somebody asked if he would model for them, so he did. And he said, well, feed my family. And they were like, yeah, I guess so. But really, his thing was not that. He would never tell anybody that. But, yeah, he was a real Renaissance. And my mom, too, a wonderful woman.
Is he still alive, your dad?
No. He was born in 1914.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And then so I guess he wouldn't.
Yeah. He's still alive around me for sure.
Yeah.
Him and my mom, my whole family's all around me, you know, everyone's around me. So I talk to them a lot.
That's really
along
nice.
Along with my animals.
Yeah. Yeah. How old were you when you started skiing? Were you really little?
Probably 1.5, 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Now you must be an awesome skier.
I don't really say. I just, you know, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's definitely, you know, a true passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had a, how did you get interested in photography?
Well, very fortunate, first of all, and very grateful that I got into photography. Because here's the thing, I never saw my parents work for anybody. And
really?
Never. No, because they ran their own thing. My mom ran the ski shop. Mm-hmm. My mom was a New Yorker. She's a woman that was from the city. And my father was from Connecticut. And then when he bought the ski area, he used to go up to Stowe all the time when it didn't snow in the Berkshires and go up and ski at Stowe and Mad River. And mm-hmm. he was there. And my mom was a New Yorker, and her friends had said, come to Stowe with us this weekend. This was back probably in, I think, early 50s.
So I guess Sugarbush wasn't even a thing then, right?
Because
it was early 50s.
Then maybe, yeah, no, I think it was. I don't know when Sugarbush started. I should know that. It was 60 years ago, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's the audience is talking to themselves right now saying it was then. But anyway. So he went to Stowe, okay? And my mom, they were skiing, didn't know each other. And my mother ran into my father and broke his nose. And
so they
fell in love. And she was actually already engaged to somebody else, but broke it off.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing.
That's funny.
So she moved from New York, and they had the ski area together, and mom did the ski shop. She was very successful. She was pretty hip, and she got like clothes with Woodstock on them, prints, and like bold colors.
Was this Catamount?
Yeah.
Catamount ski.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even say that.
Yeah. No, we didn't.
Yeah. That's Catamount ski area in the Berkshires, and Jiminy Peak in Hancock, Mass. My dad started those.
Both of them?
Yep.
That's it. Are they both still open?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
The Schaefer's just bought Catamount, and I used to, ski with those guys at Berkshire East and stuff and race with them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I found this on your website. You had this quote. My upbringing in social and athletic environments cultivated adaptability. What do you mean by that?
I mean that my mother had a lot of friends. She was very sociable. She was a New Yorker. And she loved to have friends come to our house and to the ski area. And so we had all sorts of people from, just all sorts of people. And then our family would always come, and we would have these weekends with a house full of our families and friends and parties, and mom would always throw parties down at the ski area when my dad was like, it's not snowing, I don't want a party, you know. He's like, and so
we have to be in mourning.
Yeah. Sometimes it didn't snow, and so there were a lot of people coming and going in my life, and it taught me how to be very sociable with all sorts of people, from very highfalutin New Yorkers to, you know, like, I consider us all equal, but from those days of society and stuff, and it was just really fun. And so I learned how to communicate with adults, I would say, at a young age. And I was always, you know, I had this one friend, my mom's friend and dad's friend, his name was Jewett. And he would say, hey, can I take you up the T-bar, Barry? And so I was very young. And so he was like my pal.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, 50 or 40, you know, and I was a little, you know, 6-year-old. And it was just like, I would sit and chat with him, and we'd be going up and talking about life. And
that's pretty
kind of
cool.
Neat. So I remember a lot of friends. And And then being very athletic, because I was a ski racer at a young age, I just combined the two.
You were a ski racer?
Yeah.
Were you on the racing team?
Oh, yeah.
At school?
I sure was, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I went away to high school and used to poach all the courses. And then...
was high school like a GMBS type?
No. It was called the Berkshire School in the Berkshires.
Yeah.
And... the ski coach there is still a dear friend. His name's Bob Brigham. And people in the ski world would know Bob Brigham, a real legend. And he saw me one day poaching when I was in eighth grade and I hadn't gone into high school yet. I used to, after school, I would come down because our house was right there at the mountain and I would ski down. And I would jump on the chairlift, and I would poach all the three courses, Hotchkiss, Salisbury, and Berkshire. And I would just, like, rip through them. And the coach was like, who the heck is that little kid? And it was great because I didn't have to hike because my weekend coaches, my French coaches, would make me hike. And that was, which was fine, but, you know, I wanted to take as many gates as I could. And so I got into school for free to Berkshire because I would poach all the courses. And he's like, whose kid is that?
So it was like a ski scholarship?
Yeah.
Cool.
For 4 years. Yep.
Wow. Good for
lucky.
You.
Yeah.
Did you ever get hurt? Injured?
Not really.
Wow. That's great.
My last ski race, I missed a finish gate. That hurt my ego, but besides that. And my mom came to watch.
Oh, of all times.
Yeah, I know. I know. I remember throwing my ski poles going, I'm done. That's it. I've done this long enough. Yeah.
So how did you get interested in photography? Were you...
Very fortunate. My sister, we had horses, and we would ride all over the ski area, and... My sister was interested in photography, and she went to Berkshire before me. And my father had converted a closet that we had into a darkroom, you know, chemicals, D76, fixer, the whole nine yards. And she would go in there, and one day I went in, and I went, wow, this is amazing. We were just riding yesterday, taking these photos, and now... You're developing in this little closet and, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And I said to my dad, I really want a camera someday. And so my birthday came and I remember exactly where we were standing, 10.
10. Oh my gosh.
We were standing actually right outside of the darkroom, I remember. And Dad handed me this box and I opened it and I just couldn't even believe it. I was beside myself. And I pulled, it was an old Kawa camera, which is a German-made camera.
Kawa?
Yeah. K-O-W-A.
Yeah.
And it was a 35mm film camera. I pulled it up to my face at 10 years old, and I smelled that leather, because back then all cameras had leather.
Yeah.
And I twisted the lens, and all of my senses were just going off. It was fantastic. Wow. And I looked at my dad with tears in my eyes pretty much and said, oh my gosh, I am going to do this for the rest of my life and I am going to photograph ski racing around the world.
At 10
and
years old?
Yeah, I just knew it.
Wow.
And I did that. So it was really
That's just
beautiful.
Incredible to me that, and here you are.
Yeah, I feel so, I believe me, every, I just, I'm so, you know, I pick my camera up, I thank it. I take photos, I thank it. I thank my studio, I thank where I live. I'm just so grateful for the life I've manifested. And
did you end up photographing ski racing?
I did. There was Gary Black, who owned ski racing here in town. Right. I came here at 34 years old. The second time I came here. And I'd lived here in the 80s too. And I came back in 30 when I was 1994. And I...
What brought you back? What sent you away?
A man. A wonderful man.
Isn't that always the case?
And it was all a beautiful thing. And I... knew that ski racing was in this town. And so I went to Gary, who owned ski racing right near the Vet, Haddon. And
near
I worked
the,
there.
I'm sorry.
The Vet. The Vet. Vet. Yeah.
You mean right the veterinarian?
That, yeah, the veterinarian. Okay. There's that complex where there's all those, you know, buildings there. So I worked at ski racing for many years. And
oh, you were racing too?
No.
Okay.
I was done filming. With racing. I was about 34 then, and I was done with ski racing. I'd skied a lot in my life, and I just didn't want to race gates. I wanted to ski. I wanted to have fun.
Yeah.
And so, not that I didn't have fun doing that, but...
different.
Yeah, different. You know, we all change, and I welcome change. Change is one of my things. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
And so... I ended up getting a job at ski racing and then traveling with Gary and team. And we went all over the world and did all sorts of amazing things together. And then that's what I did. I worked with ski racing and the U.S. ski team for certain jobs, too. So,
do you have a favorite place that you can remember that just really sticks out?
I like Wengen. I
think
that was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yep. I had a good time there.
And that is Germany, right?
Yeah. There's all sorts of, it's, yep.
And it's funny, they're not as well noted for skiing as like Innsbruck or.
Well, and also St. Anton. And it's just gorgeous, gorgeous. Everywhere is beautiful. I love just taking off after, you know, you're doing exactly what you love on a job and just skiing with your hands out and just the wind in your hair and all your camera gear on you and just going, looking at the sky and going, this is so amazing.
Great to be alive.
Oh, so great. So I feel I've really lived a lot of my, that dream when I was a child.
Yeah.
And then I had a business also in the summers doing weddings and portraits and still do.
Yeah. So you came back to, you were in Vermont earlier and then you left and came back?
I moved 45 times in my life.
45 times? Yeah. Wow, you beat me.
I just really like.
I thought I was a gypsy.
Yeah, I just, you know, I was not your conventional. You know, get a house, get a husband, do all these things like that. I was not like that and still have a bit of that going on. But I am wanting to be more settled, which I am now.
Yeah.
But it was really fantastic to be free like that.
Mm-hmm.
And freedom is definitely a big part of how I like to live my life. I don't follow the norm always. And I'm really... When I went to school, I would go to school for, you know, 8 months or 6 to 8 months. And I'd be like, okay, I'm out of here. It's snowing. I've got to go. I got to go live in a ski town. So I'd go to Colorado. And then I go, okay, now I have to focus again. I got to go back to art school. But I never wanted to do English and all those things that I learned in high school, all those other chemistry. I was like, why do I want that when I know already what I want?
Mm-hmm.
I want mixed media art. I want to be a photographer. So I learned photo, color, black and white, etching, silkscreen, litho, pottery, you know, all of it that was of interest to me.
This is probably going to sound like a stupid question, but if you go to, you went to art school,
it's never
right?
a stupid question.
Sorry?
Never a stupid question.
Everybody says that until I ask it, and then they say, I was wrong, that was a stupid question. In art school, you still have to take... Like, you take all the art classes, but then you still need, like, English and math and the other.
You know, somehow I skipped it all.
But you graduated, right?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, I don't know, maybe I have to leave this semester. No, I don't know how I got away with what I got away with, but I definitely got away with it. And it wasn't intentional. It was just, I don't want to do that. So why are you going to make me do that? And I have a bit of that going on in my life.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. No, I definitely, I listen and take advice, but I have to follow my intuition.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get back to, you moved back to Vermont at 34. And have you been in Vermont since then?
Well, I actually, when I was on the World Cup in Kitzbühel, I met my second husband, and I moved to Hood River, Oregon.
So you were on the World Cup photographing?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That had to be so much fun.
It was a blast. With ski racing, yeah. It was great. We had a really good crew. We traveled all over, and we just, Gary provided a beautiful setting for all of us, and definitely want to, you know, give my kudos to Gary for Gary Black.
And this is Gary, yeah.
Gary Black, he's a big part of the U.S. ski team, and big ski racing guy, and all that, really.
Yeah. And you had all the fun without all the stress of racing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. No, I was done with that.
You could just go and take pictures.
Yeah. And even when I was racing, it was all just kind of fun and games. You know, hey, I'd tell everybody, good luck. Good luck. You know?
Yeah. God, that sounds like such a great career.
Way more fun to photograph it. But I'll tell you, you do freeze. You stand out there with cold, numb fingers.
Oh.
All over, and you're like, oh God. And then you have to get back down to the bottom of the hill in time, and you have to click. And I was a tellier, so I'd have to clip into my telly skis on the Honeycomb, which is like a sheet of ice. Take a glass.
Wow.
Look at the glass, and that's what the Honeycomb's like. They water it and salt it. It's hard as a rock.
Yeah, so I wasn't thinking you're on skis too.
Yeah, you're on skis. You're like, have to stay out of the way. You have to make sure that you have the right lens, and there's a lot of hidden pre-jumps that you have to... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like they come out of nowhere.
Wow.
You have to autofocus back then. I mean, manually focus is
Is that why you don't still do it? It's just...
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. You know, you do that for however many years I did it, 8 to 10. That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it had to be incredibly exciting.
It was.
Yeah.
So I met my husband there, and then I moved to Hood River and
Oregon.
Big windsurfing, kite surfing, and worked at Mount Hood. I was the photographer for Mount Hood with Walter, my ex.
Yeah.
And
that's Oregon?
Yep.
Yeah, my husband Harry, he ran some races there.
Oh, yeah. Is he a ski racer?
No, this is running racing.
Oh,
he ran for Converse sneakers.
Oh, he did?
He did,
I'm not surprised.
And they do the what's it called? Hood to Coast? It starts at the top of the mountain.
Yes.
Mount Hood, and then you run down to the ocean.
Yes.
That's or what you most run up. People... You can run down. Yeah. So anyway, he was part of all that.
Neat. That's what most people love about out in... Hood River is because you have the mountains, and on the way to the mountain you have the vineyards, and then you can also go to the ocean all in a day. You can go windsurf, kite surf, you can bike. So it's snow up top, and then it's a totally warm town down below.
Yeah It must be incredible.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, he always talks about it.
Yeah, but I was ready to come back to Vermont. It was beautiful, but the waters were toxic at the Columbia River Gorge, and there's a highway running through it, but that's not the reason that I, anyway. So I just ended up moving back.
Yeah.
And really was happy to, you know, come back here. And my dad was here, and I wanted to make sure he was okay. He was like 89.
Yeah.
Long story there, but yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you came back.
Oh, me too. Thank you. It's good to be here. I have a great life here with a lot of amazing people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And families here too, which is really lovely.
Oh, you have family in Vermont?
I do. Yeah. My cousins moved from Maine, from Boston. My aunt moved from San Francisco.
Suki. Is your sister still
alive? Hi, Suki, if you're out there. Hi, Suki. Is what?
Is your sister still alive?
No, Kitty.
Excuse me.
No, she's not. My sister's Kitty Smith. Yep. No, she passed when she was 41. Some folks on here might know. Remember Kitty?
She's Did always she live with here me. Too?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Yes. She was married to Ward Smith.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's a sad story. But
Life, but
like
you know,
you said,
like I said, they're all right here next to me. And, and everyone out there, when someone does pass, I definitely encourage you to know that they're right there with you and to get great joy out of that, because there's so much more that's around us, and it really helps me every day to know that. But they're always in my prayers, so most people are.
I was looking at your client list. You have some impressive clients here. American Express, the Brooklyn Academy of Music, Town and Country Magazine, New York Times. How do you get to do photographs for the New York Times?
I don't know. They contact me.
Really?
I was one of DeKine's photographers when I was in Hood River. Yeah, magazines, magazine, Powder, they know I'm on the World Cup or whatever, and they call me, hey, can you go to Vail and do this for Snow Country, which was a ski magazine or Powder, you know.
So all of these, like the Brooklyn Academy of Music, it was ski pictures?
Oh, no, that was, I was in New York and I can't remember exactly what the job was. It was a while back, but it was a job in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I went to school in New York too. New York, San Francisco, Boston, and Lake Placid. All the places, yeah. So I made sure that I hit all the places. Let's see, where do I want to go next? Okay, I'm going to go to Lake Placid because the Olympics are there. So that was really fun.
That's so much fun.
Oh, yeah, that's how I would pick my colleges. But my mom was a New Yorker, so she lived on 55th and 45 West 55th. So I had both New York and country, which is another reason, getting back to that question you asked about growing up in an athletic and also
social. Yeah.
So there you have it. That really marries the two together, where I had the country and I was a total outside kid with, you know, bare feet and building forts and never inside and riding my horses bareback with no bridle and saddle or shoes. And then I had the New York, where I'd have to go in and, you know,
so when you were a kid, you grew up in both places?
Yes.
New York and I see.
And my family, Suki and my mom grew up in Dobbs Ferry.
Your mom grew up in Duxbury, Vermont?
No, Dobbs Ferry, New York.
Oh. I was going to say that one.
She had a house in Dobbs Ferry, New York. So we would kind of marry between the three, the ski area. Suki's family would all come, which is my mom's sister.
Yeah.
They would all come to the Berkshires and ski some weekends, and we would go in the summer to their place at Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they always had, like, grand parties and had fun. And so we would have this fun place to jump on the trampoline. And
wow.
Yeah, we were real trampoline buffs.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because trampolines have sort of made a run. They've come back.
So good for you.
Yeah.
Really helps your lymph.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really grateful that I had all this athleticism in my life. So,
yeah, really.
It's helped me throughout my life.
And horseback riding, in a way.
So much
fun. That's pretty athletic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. Especially when you had a spunky little pony like I did, Inky. He'd be running along and he'd put his head down and you go flying off. And then you'd be like, get back here. Jump back on him. It was totally wild and I was like a little Native American kid running around.
Yeah. Do you still ride?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Not to the degree. No.
Yeah.
I mean, I could jump on a horse, but it's not like I go out and, you know, I wouldn't say I have to rephrase that. I don't ride anything like I used to. But if you put a horse in front of me and said, here, let's go for it. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd like to ride.
I'm playing tennis again, so that's good.
You what?
I'm playing tennis again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Have you ever ridden bareback?
My whole life.
Yeah. That's fun. I've done that a few times.
It's so fun, right?
It's so fun. Yeah. You feel like you're part of the horse. Much
you do.
More.
Yeah. I'd come home from school and I would get on Inky, my little pony, a little Shetland, and I would like lean back and read Treasure Island. I remember doing that with my head like bobbing off of, you know, his rump, and I was like, this is so amazing. And he would just walk along. Yeah.
Well, I'm talking to Barry Fisher. She is a photographer right here in the Mad River Valley. She has a studio in Waitsfield, and we've been chatting a lot about your past, but let's get into photography
a
little bit.
Yeah, good idea.
I was wondering, I was asking you before we got on the air about how you, when you were talking about when you were a kid and you went into the dark room and you saw the pictures being developed. And that's probably, I imagine, how you started when you began. That's probably what you did, right?
Yes. I ended up developing with Tri-X 400 film. And I would go into the darkroom. And when Kitty now was 4 years older than me, my sister, she went off to ride in Virginia. She was a real horsewoman. And I was at the house. And I, of course, took over the darkroom. And I also, when I was at Berkshire, I was also in the darkroom a lot, and I was part of the yearbook. I took a lot of people's photos, and I documented that school and our parties in the woods and the cabins, and yeah, we had a good time, and the ski races. And so I learned a lot about that there, and then from there I went to Berkshire, and then I went to photo schools where I learned, you know, color photography from black and white. And we're talking 78 until like 84. So during those years of college, so I was learning all sorts of mediums. But and I was always attracted to anything colorful and artistic.
Have you ever painted?
Yes.
You do paint too?
I do mixed media. I learned a lot about that too. So I'm in the process now of combining that with my photography.
Nice.
And I have the studio for it.
The studio is beautiful.
Thank you.
I don't know if you haven't seen it, I'd highly encourage anybody who's listening to go visit Barry at her studio. It's beautiful.
Please do. It'd be great to meet you all. I always encourage. I know, it's fantastic. I really thank you for that. And I feel it's really a special spot. I am very much about space and beauty within my space, because that influences everything around me. It always has. And I do encourage anyone, please stop by. I'd love to meet you and show you around. And I have a new philosophy for my business. When COVID came, I laid on the ground like a starfish, and I thought about what I wanted to do with my career. And I decided I wanted to open a studio gallery. First, it was a gallery. And that didn't really work for me. So I switched it over to the Barry Fisher Photo Fine Art Studio. And I laid there on the ground and I thought, I've been hustling for so many years, running here, there, and everywhere, doing my photography for jobs. I want to really do my art. That's what I went to school for. And I decided, about a year, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, when I started my studio, to really start taking it to a whole nother level with my fine art. I mean, it's been 2.5 years, but really taking it where I start mixing media and not just photography, even though I do that. So anyone that is interested, I can take a photo or a drawing or a concept that anybody has, and I can help you to have your vision come to fruition by coming and talking to me and saying, hey, Barry, I have this photo. Let's say I was on the Cape when I was a child, and I love this picture, but it's only, 3x4, and it's from 1950s, and my parents are in it, and I want to do something really fabulous. Well, I can help you to bring that vision to fruition. We can make it colorful. We can do any kind of medium that you want with it. And so I decided Barry Fisher Photo Fine Art Studio is to help you, my tagline is, to help you bring your vision to fruition. and I help you with that. And that's, well, that's not my ego saying it should be this way or that way. It's about your vision, and I help you. I sit and listen, and I really take in what your vision is. So that's what I decided. It's something unique and off the beaten path.
I love it.
Thank you.
I do. I love it. And I saw when I was in your studio a couple of the things that you did for people. It's really impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's very kind. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I just think it's such a great whole work philosophy, you know?
Like I have to be happy, and I have to be doing exactly what I want, not what I'm told to do by, you know, you have to do it this way or that way. I just have never been a real rule follower.
Yeah, but then in addition, you're also helping people.
That's what I want. I want to make people happy. And I know I see the joy when I photograph their dog, and then they get the final piece, and they're like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And it just, you know, we cry together because I know what an animal means.
Yeah.
I know what
our
loved ones.
I wanted to ask you about pets because you have a lot. I've noticed you have a lot. Do you have a favorite pet that you like to photograph? Like, would it, a favorite animal, I guess I should say, like.
I think all animals are beautiful, and I wouldn't say favorite. I would just say the personality. I love to see the personality that comes out in them, and I get to look at that twinkle in their eye, or the ones that maybe are a little leery of me. I have to be in tune with them, and I speak to them when I'm photographing them. I'm telepathically talking to them, and we're having a conversation. So when I do have clients that come in and they bring their dog, or they're, you know, yeah, we'll talk about dog. Sometimes they want to control the dog and they want to do all this stuff. And I have to look at them and go, it's okay. I got this. And then the dog and I are talking, and the dog's not really paying attention to their owner then.
Yeah.
And they're really connecting with me. And then I'm getting the look I want, and they feel heard, I think. We both feel heard because we're communicating, and I'm trying to tell them it's okay, you know, I'm here, I just want to take a couple, and then bing bang bing bang, and then like five shots I have it.
Wow. That's
so
great.
And then I can do anything with that photo, change the background, turning it into a painting. Anybody's idea, I can help them. You can put like 5-year dogs together. I can do them on a big, long panel board with all five with the look that you might want. So I encourage anybody that has a vision of anything that you stop by and call me. And sometimes I'm not open all the time. And the reason is it's a studio now. And so you do have to call for an appointment or text, and when the open sign is up.
Yeah, you put that on the sidewalk?
Yeah, well, you can see it when it's right near the Northfield Savings Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's right next to it, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And right where the farmer's market is, so.
Yeah.
And then I create my own art and display that also.
Nice.
So lots of gifts in there, and I do double-sided art. I do anything anybody might want. I can do metaphysical. I can do straight photos of where we live in the valley, any landmarks, any landscapes, portraits of people, dogs, cats. And you can just send me a photo. You don't have to have me photograph. If you have a favorite photo, let's say, of your cat or your, you know, parakeet.
Horse.
Just send it to me. Though I do love to go get horse photos too, because then I'm in the wilds with them, and there's a certain look with a horse that I can do.
Yeah, because you're so familiar with horses?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, because really cool. they're so unique in the way that they move.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so artistic. I mean, everything's artistic. Yeah. And I don't even know the word boring in photography, because if you get bored taking a photo, even of I don't even know what that word means, because everything's just really beautiful to me.
I can't see you bored. I can't even imagine you bored just knowing.
I have enough photos to sink a ship. Yeah, 55 years.
Yeah. You're so full of life.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. You too.
Wow. You mentioned metaphysical. What do you mean?
Like, well, I really, really like to take myself when I look, I have, okay, let's see. Metaphysical is otherworldly.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to take many different photos and combine them. And sometimes it's mixed media, like a painting I might have done, or then I take that painting and I overlay it with a photo I've done, and then I overlay it with another photo I did, and then I turn it into a work of art.
Yeah, nice.
So it becomes something very fanciful, and everyone has a different feel.
Yeah.
Angelic. So there's the reality, and then there's the angelic, and I like to live amongst them all.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of skipped over, and I really did want to ask you this, so I'd like to go back to it just for a minute.
Sure.
About the transition you made from developing film to digital. When did that all happen? Like maybe 30 years ago, do you think? Was it?
Let's see. Gosh, you know, it all blends together. Okay.
Yeah.
I was photographing, I do remember, I was photographing the World Cup, the 99 World Championships at Beaver Creek, Birds of Prey. And it was around that time, 98, 99. And mm-hmm. when I was noticing that in the press room, people were starting to use digital cameras. And I said, I do like to be a forefront person. Like when I see new technology come out, especially back then, I would be really curious, go up and ask a lot of questions and figure it out and go buy one. So I was at a photo show or a camera exhibit show in New York at the Javits. And I saw this system, and it was this system that had camera, Dysub printer, and you could get your photos right away.
But and they were still, it wasn't like a digital.
It was a digital camera.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I saw this system and I was flabbergasted. I went, oh my gosh. And so the guy followed me around the show and made me buy it. Well, made me. Yeah, right. Nobody can make you do anything. But anyway, so I was so amazed by it. And I finally bought it. And then I was at Vail and I had it sent or Beaver Creek, had it sent there because it was from Denver. They came to my, condo that we were renting and set it up for me. And I went to the World Championships. I shot, you know, the race. And I came back an hour later and gave everybody photos. And back then, that was not happening. And they're like, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? And I'm like, never mind.
Well, remember they had those, what were they called? The cameras or the picture pop?
Polaroid.
Polaroid, yeah.
Right.
But they had those.
Those are a little different. Those disappear. Yeah.
I don't even know. It develops right in the camera, and then you get the picture. And then like, after a day or two or something, the picture would fade.
Exactly. That's what I said. They disappear. But they have a great feed. They have a really, I like the effect that a Polaroid does.
You do?
Yeah. Huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you can even use your digital camera now on your phone and you can turn something to look like an old Polaroid. You can do anything with your phone.
That right. So that's a thing, like the Polaroids. Huh, about that?
But it was pretty neat to be able to walk in and watch everybody go, how'd you do that in the press room? Or you know, I'd hand them to the athletes. They're like, huh? So I would say it was around 97, 98.
Yeah.
When I switched over. Oh, wait. You said film. Yeah, it was with slides, because we used to do all slides. Now, when you do slide photography, when you shoot with film, okay, you have a leeway on exposure. When you shoot with slides, forget it. If you don't know how to work your camera manually, personally, I use manual for most of my, because I know the settings.
Mm-hmm.
I know the look I can get on manual. So if you don't have the right exposure on a slide, so if I go and I photograph a ski race or anything with slide and you come back and they're all blown out, you missed it.
Really?
Like, you're done. Your job's done. You're fired. So you really have to be right on with slide photography. Now we're all digital. We can be all over the place. Okay? Right? So there's a reason and a technical reason that you can, that all of that matters. Film to slide to digital. Now people can really mess up the exposure. So it's made it so everybody can be a photographer, which is great, you know?
Yeah.
We're all artists.
Yeah.
We really are.
Well, I don't know all of us.
Yeah, we are. I think I in my heart of hearts, believe that we're all creators and all artists.
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not necessarily of art.
I encourage people to embrace their art and their, pick up a paintbrush. That feeling in your hand is just incredible.
Jane Hobart?
Yes.
Yeah, she's the head of the corral.
Yeah.
And she's trying to talk me into being in the corral. And I said, trust me, you do not want to hear me sing. And she said, everybody can sing. And I said, no, everybody can't.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I might have to talk to Jane. Not that I'm going to be in the corral, but I would like to sing. I think that vibration is really good coming out of you. Humming's really good for you.
So one more question related to that is, do you find any difference from, and you have worked with both like film developing and digital cameras, in quality? Do you think there is?
Well, it depends on what you're using it for. So when it was film, we had to have, I'm not a person who likes everything really sharp.
Yeah.
So luckily I didn't have to worry about that in the way I see the world, okay? But when you're doing advertising and you want something really sharp, you have to have the best cameras out there. So the Hasselblads and, you know, all these cameras.
And are the best cameras digital?
Well, back in the film days, I'm talking.
Oh, okay.
So now we've come forward, okay? So when you had to use those, you had to be very aware of what size your film was, because what goes through the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Film is a different size. They have a bigger negative with a Hasselblad, and they have with a 35 millimeter camera, it's like half that size, mm-hmm. if not a little smaller. Okay? It's more than a little smaller. And so when you have to blow up a photo from a small negative and you want to blow it into a sign,
mm-hmm.
blow it up into a sign, the size, it can be grainy. But when you would blow up a sign with a Hasselblad, it would be a lot sharper because the negative is bigger.
Does
that make sense?
Yes,
and
it
all
does.
Of that matters. So technically people have to be knowing these things in their mind when they're setting up a job for somebody. You have to be thinking on all these levels. So your mind is going, your creativity is going. And now with digital, they have such amazing software. I've got to tell you, digital has taken more time of my life because I sit in front of the computer more than I did with film.
Really?
Because you could drop the film off and they would develop it for you a week later. So you could go play, you could bike and ski. Now, when I was learning digital, I had to really focus. Mm-hmm. I had to sit for hours to learn because that's how I learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found that I wasn't being as athletic and I was getting a slave driver to my computer. And so it was really interesting for me to see how my life was changing from an athlete to now sitting more and really focusing to be a good artist or, you know, do a good job. I was doing 50 weddings by myself a year.
Yeah.
That's a lot of editing. That's like a lot.
Are weddings the toughest thing?
No, like, they're a piece of cake for me.
Oh,
but,
really?
You know, I'm so used to being around people and also know my gear well. So I know exactly the moment when somebody, I can tell just, it's what I do all day long. I like watch expression and I look at backgrounds and I look at lighting.
So you never have problems with the mother or the bride? Or
No, I was really lucky. Everyone was really nice because I go into my jobs. I know my craft.
Yeah.
So I have everything set up with software, etc., and I ask all the right questions and they fill out the forms and then I make sure that we're on the same plane and then a week before the wedding where all systems go, and I'm right there. Then I'm in my job. I'm in my craft. I know what you're looking for. This is how I did it. You chose me for a reason. And I don't want them to ever worry about me not doing my job, because I'm there to take care of them and do the best job that I can in any form of photography, because it means this is a big deal.
Yeah.
A marriage is a big deal. And I know that you can't get that back. So
I was at a wedding. This was before you and I knew each other, where you were her photographer for the couple. And you were amazing. And
thank
she was thrilled
you.
With
oh, you know, goody.
Was, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, yeah, was, I really,
yeah,
I love it. It's everyone's really happy. And, you know, I try to look at really creative angles and really make it special for them and keep communication open so that we really have a beautiful symbiotic relationship going on.
Nice.
To do creativity together. And when I take a wedding photos, this is a good thing. You know how when you go to a wedding and the photographer takes them for hours and you're wondering where they are at the cocktail hour? Do you know about that?
No.
Well, it happens. They take the whole cocktail hour and they go off in cars and they take the whole wedding party. It's like, wait a minute. This is a wedding. Like, they plan to have the cocktails at a certain time. So I like to do the wedding photos of the formals. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what I do is I then let them go up and party for a while. And then before they go in to the reception, I photograph them for 5, 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I've already done like 10, 15 minutes of them before.
Yeah.
Now that's 20 minutes, 30 minutes of photos of the two of them. Then after dinner, I take them out to the twilight with the blue sky. That's another 10 minutes. And then way at the end, I take them. So that's 35, 40 minutes of photos of them, but they don't even know that it was that long because I don't hold them for a whole half an hour. Do you do this?
Yeah.
Do this? I wouldn't want that.
Right.
I want it to be enjoyable.
What a great idea.
You know, you think about these things as you learn your profession through the years.
Yeah.
And I give them lots of pointers so that they can go, oh, never thought about that. Oh, never thought about that. And it's fun because then they start thinking about it for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
You know?
And the pictures are for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Really. That's a, yeah. It's
you know, there's a certain way to stand at times and, you know, the way your eyes, just certain little pointers I give them.
Yeah.
Same with portraits. I do the same thing. And I love family photos. Oh.
Oh, really?
Taking family photos is so much fun.
That must be fun.
Yeah. Just had one yesterday. Really nice family.
Nice.
Did a mini session.
Yeah, I bet that is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot more relaxed and laid back than a wedding. You know,
yes.
I would think.
Yeah. It depends on the wedding, but yeah.
Yeah.
Mini sessions I do, which are for... like the session I did yesterday was a mini session. So I shot for like a half hour, 45 minutes. And then I do a full session, which is more like an hour to 2 hours, an hour and a half to 2 hours for portraits.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, folks, for family.
Really, to come in for a family photo.
Families. And
we should do that.
And then I do all this really cool stuff afterwards where I mount them on these beautiful boards and you can get like, a whole beautiful collage with your family, and I don't use glass, so if they fell on the floor, it doesn't matter, the artwork, because it's indestructible.
Wow.
So, yeah, I do it for restaurants and all sorts of things. So hopefully people will come by and look. It's
just
really
to see
fun.
Your studio is worth the trip. And I saw on your website that you have classes.
Oh, yes. I'm
talk about that a little bit.
Well, right now, I'm coming up with concepts of when, you know, we put it out on Instagram, which is Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, photo. And that's my Instagram account. And
so it's barryfisherphoto.com?
Let me see. I got to make sure.
I think it is. I had your website.
Let me see. Let's see. Hold on. I should know these things, right?
Wait a minute. I got it right here.
Yeah, it's Barry Fisher Photo.
BarryFisherPhoto.com. Yeah.
BFisherPhoto.com is my website. B as in boy, Fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, photo.com. But what was the question?
We were talking about classes.
Oh, right. Classes. Right. So social media is where you would figure that out with me. If you followed me, that is where you're going to find out. And I also do private lessons.
Social media, meaning like a Facebook page?
Facebook and Instagram. Yep.
Okay. And that's Barry Fisher.
Right. BFisherPhoto.com. Okay. B as in boy. That would
that's
be my
your website.
Oh, I'm sorry. Barry Fisher. Yes. Barry Fisher Photo. Yes.
Okay.
For Instagram. Excuse me. But yeah, that's how I'm doing that. And
the classes are, is it something you're doing on a regular basis or something in the future?
No, I teach iPhone photography and 35 millimeter DSLR or SLR, digital single lens reflex, or film, which is single lens reflex. And I will teach anybody any kind of photography. So bring your medium of what you want to photograph. And I will also show you how to take those photos, whatever medium you work with, iPhone, 35 millimeter camera. And then I can show you how to take those images and then bring them into certain apps and then combine more apps to make your images more artistic. So that is something that I teach in my classes. And right now, I'm not a standard time. I would like to maybe start that in the winter time. Mm-hmm. And also for people that are visiting Sugar Bush or Mad River and they don't feel like skiing, I do privates. And I'm happy to teach if somebody calls me and they get a group together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fun. And come see all the fun things that we get to play with in the studio. Doing workshops is another thing that I also am working on.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing so you might be setting
weekend workshops.
Yep. Terrific.
So.
All right. And I have this right here. So it is bfisherphoto.com. And the phone number is 802-777-5665. And I love that 5665 is look.
Hello. Okay. I sat there with a guy for hours.
How did you get that?
Oh, you know, I don't give up. Can I say one more thing?
Oh, sure.
Okay. I'd like to say that I'm just installing for a couple of restaurants my fine artwork. And what I'm doing is hanging it in the one is at the Hideaway.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah. And Mad River Exchange. I'll be hanging a bunch of art there. And I sell my own fine art, so if people happen to see that, you know, check it out. I also am at the Bridges and other places.
Great.
So, I love doing my fine art. And if anyone wants any certain images of the Mad River Valley, come and discuss. I have everything in my library. I turn a lot of the photos into beautiful, soft, nice kind of paintings too, or you can have it also as a straight photo.
Nice.
Yeah, and then they're presented on a special system that I use.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Great. Well, I've been talking to Barry Fisher, and thank you so much, Barry, for coming in. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And I would highly encourage anybody who's listening to go visit your studio. The studio is really cool, and the artwork is phenomenal that she has in there. So thank you for listening, everyone. This has been the 5-H Show. I'm going to turn you over to Hal. I think there's a DJ coming in tonight. I'm not exactly sure who, because this isn't my regular day. But I will be back again on Friday. Have a great evening.